Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Tuesday, June 28th, 2011. I'm Lee Robartis. In the news tonight, Fisheries Society says Snake River dams must be breached. Interveners along U.S. Highway 12 react to contested case hearing officers' recommendations. Washington Tourism Office to close and Libby Clinic to get $10 million grant for asbestos screening. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. U.S. Highway 12 tourism business owners Borg Hendrickson and Linwood Lahey have released a statement reacting to the recommendations made yesterday by an Idaho Transportation Department hearing examiner that the ITD should issue permits for the half-million-pound ExxonMobil megaloads to travel on U.S. Highway 12. Hendrickson and Lahey are interveners in the contested case hearing. In a 63-page recommendation released Monday, hearing officer Duff McGee said none of the intervener's arguments presented during an ITD contested case hearing in April and May have any merit. The statement from interveners Hendrickson and Lahey released today says, in part, we interveners and our advocates for the West lawyers, Laird Lucas and Natalie Havlina, are disappointed with the findings, but note that it is clear from the findings that the hearing officer misunderstood some of the facts and evidence presented during the hearing, and we are likely to file for a reconsideration. The fact remains that we opponents of Big Oil's plan to transform the Clearwater-Lauxaw corridor into an industrial tar sands truck route have already won victories. Together we have created a widespread network of people actively opposing the megaloads, held off Big Oil for more than a year, caused Imperial Exxon to cut up 33 modules and look for alternative routes, helped move Idaho Rivers United forward with their lawsuit against the U.S. Forest Service and the Federal Highway Administration, and worked in coordination with Montana megaload foes as they have formulated the Missoula County Commission, etc. versus Montana Department of Transportation lawsuit. In other words, although McKee's recommendation did not go our way, we feel buoyed by our successes, are considering our option to file for reconsideration, and are simultaneously looking ahead to the success of the two ongoing lawsuits. The U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to hear the case of Idaho property owners Chantel and Michael Sackett of Priest Lake, who said there was no practical way to object to an Environmental Protection Agency order to buy a costly permit to comply with the Federal Clean Water Act if they were going to work on their half-acre property. The Sackett said the permit would have cost as much as the land did. The High Court will consider the case when their next term begins in October. U.S. Senator Max Baucus of Montana announced yesterday the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention will award the Libby, Montana-based Center for Asbestos-Related Disease a $10 million grant to screen people for asbestosis and mesothelioma. In addition to screenings in Libby, the grant will allow the clinic to conduct screenings around the country for former Libby area residents who were exposed to asbestos from the vermiculite mine just outside of town run by W.R. Grace and Company. 1,750 people in the Libby area have been diagnosed with asbestos-related diseases. Asbestosis and mesothelioma kill nearly 100% of those who contract the diseases. Mesothelioma is a cancer of the lung lining closely associated with asbestos exposure. Members of Congress from five states in the region have sent a letter to the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, saying the agency has sacrificed miners' safety by cutting funding to the only federal lab in the West devoted to improving mine safety. The institute has made a series of cuts to the Spokane Research Lab in the past few years. The letter says, in part, Western United States mining health and safety issues, particularly those of the metal and non-metal sector, cannot be and will not be diminished in favor of Eastern United States coal mining health and safety issues. The lawsuit by Washington school districts, teachers, and community groups against the state over school funding has made it to the state Supreme Court. The Supreme Court in Olympia was hearing arguments today in an appeal by the state of a February 2010 Superior Court ruling that said the state is failing its constitutional duty by not sufficiently funding public schools. 72% of K-12 education in Washington is funded by state sales, business, and property taxes, while another 16% comes from local levies and 9% comes from federal aid. About 51% of the state's general fund goes through to K-12 education. Washington is closing its state tourism office at the end of the week due to budget cuts, making it the only state in the nation without a state agency dedicated to promoting tourism. Last month, the legislature eliminated a $2 million budget line item that would have kept the office open. The office has received as much as $7 million from the state in recent years. Out-of-state visitors spent $15.2 billion in Washington last year. Other states have been shrinking their spending on tourism promotion or turning to private tourism business associations to help fund them. Still others, like Michigan, continue to pour millions of dollars into tourism promotion because they see tourism as an essential facet of economic recovery. The Washington tourism industry has begun raising money for a still unnamed promotional organization. Vancouver Regional Tourism Office Chief Executive Officer Kim Bennett said the group has raised $300,000 so far, but would like to see a minimum of $15 million before starting major marketing campaigns. The retiring Washington Department of Ecology water manager says competing demands for water will be a major issue in the near future. Ken Slattery of the Ecology Department is retiring this week. Slattery says there is an acute water shortage in the Yakima area. He says he is concerned about large declines in groundwater levels around Pullman, east of Moses Lake, and on the West Plains area near Spokane. Slattery says climate change, population growth, and the needs of fish and wildlife are all factors in the competition for the state's groundwater supply, most of which was allocated to municipalities, agriculture, and industry interests decades ago. The Western Division of the American Fisheries Society said yesterday the four lower Snake River dams in southeastern Washington must be breached if salmon and steelhead are to be saved and restored to fishable numbers. The group of independent scientists wanted to release their recommendations before a court decision on the federal government's plan to balance the health of fish populations and dam operations. The government plan does not include breaching the dams, but does involve the possibility of studying the removal of dams if runs continue to decline heavily. Federal Judge James Redden in Portland held hearings on the salmon runs and the dams last month and is expected to issue a ruling sometime this summer. Redden has so far twice rejected federal government salmon recovery plans. The latest plan calls for improvements to the hydropower system and fish habitat, as well as hatchery reform. However, the Independent Fisheries Society has previously said the government's plan is insufficient to protect and recover salmon runs. The resolution passed by the Fisheries Society predicts salmon and steelhead runs will decline in the future unless the populations see more genetic diversity from wild fish. The Society also calls for the breaching of the four lower Snake River dams. Former University of Idaho fisheries professor Don Chapman of McCall said, quote, "This resolution simply tells it like it is from the science perspective. If we want to save Snake River salmon as habitats warm, we have to remove the four lower Snake River dams. There is just no evading that reality. Washington Secretary of State Sam Reed announced today he will retire when his third four-year term ends in January 2013. The Republican Reed says he is healthy despite being a cancer survivor and that he intends to continue volunteering after he retires. On Reed's watch, the state switched to a mostly mail-in ballot system. He also oversaw the recount of the extremely close 2004 governor's race won by Democrat Chris Gregoire. Democratic State Senator Jim Castama of Puyallup says he will run next year to replace Reed. Republican Thurston County Auditor Kim Wyman has expressed interest in the position as well. Democratic U.S. Representative Jay Inslee said yesterday he wants to serve as Washington's governor so he can overhaul the state's economy and bring new technology and innovation to the state. Inslee said the state has not done enough to create jobs in the research sector. He indicated he could use pension dollars to create and invest in new research startup firms. He also argued he could reform the economy by creating high-tech clusters, which would partner research institutions with private industry. Inslee's likely opponent is Attorney General Rob McKenna. Like McKenna, Inslee said he would like to streamline government by reviewing state operations. However, unlike McKenna, Inslee said he is open to the idea of raising tax revenues by eliminating tax deductions for out-of-state banks. Inslee began his campaign for governor yesterday at a Seattle biotech firm that focuses on alternative energy. The Moscow School Board will hold a public hearing tonight to discuss the proposed budget for fiscal year 2011 to 2012. The budget for next year totals $25.4 million, about $1.4 million less than this year's. If approved, the district's general fund would be about $21.5 million beginning July 1st, which includes $1.2 million in unappropriated funds, $550,000 in contingency reserve funds, and $45,000 in inventory. School district officials say the unappropriated fund balance has been as high as $4.2 million in the past. However, the amount of money has been reduced due to the need to cover shortfalls in other areas of the budget. State support for the district's general fund is down by about $2.4 million since the 2008 through 2009 budget. Money from the district's general fund allocated to employee salaries and benefits is down from approximately $18.5 million in this year's budget to $17.9 million in the proposed budget. At tonight's board meeting, school board members will listen to public input on the proposed budget. The public hearing will be held at 6:15 p.m. in the boardroom of the Moscow School District's office located at 650 North Cleveland Street at the corner of F Street. It will be followed by the board's regular meeting beginning at 7 p.m. You're listening to the KRFP Evening Report on KRFP Moscow. Work began Friday to renovate Pullman High School's 42-year-old gymnasium floor. District Executive Director of Support Services Dan Hornfelt said the $125,000 project has been in place since the school opened and could not be put off any longer because of safety concerns. The company responsible for the renovation is Missoula-based Big Sky Supplies, who began tearing up the floor Friday. The company will replace the oak floor with modernized maple flooring. The oak floor was glued instead of nailed, and the glue was apparently coming loose, making it difficult to add replacement tiles. The new maple flooring is scheduled to be in place by the beginning of this upcoming school year. The Elk City Sheriff's Department shot and killed a wolf Saturday night for the first time since the Idaho Department of Fish and Game authorized the killing of wolves by law enforcement. Idaho County Deputy Mike Chlebowski was summoned to a residential home after the homeowner reported seeing a wolf in his backyard. Deputy Chlebowski then shot the wolf, which ran into the woods. Deputy Stan Denham then drove to Elk City Sunday, and the two deputies tracked the wolf in the woods and killed it. Idaho County Sheriff Doug Giddings said it is unknown whether the wolf was harassing any livestock or people, but he said that it is one of several wolves that have been spotted in the area. The carcass of the wolf has been turned over to the state. Giddings said this is the first one our department has killed, but it won't be the last. The Clarkston City Council rejected a proposed ordinance last night to create a new stormwater utility, instead opting to add a fee to the current city's sewer utility. The city administration has been working with the nonprofit Municipal Research and Service Center in an attempt to solve the city's stormwater problems. The council voted down the ordinance to create a separate facility in light of additional information from the revised Code of Washington indicating that the system of sewerage can include storm and surface water sewers. Residents of Clarkston will likely see a new stormwater fee of $3.50 in the near future. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report. Taking a look at the weather, scattered showers and thunderstorms before midnight tonight, then isolated showers, mostly cloudy, low 52, chance precipitation 30%, 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Tomorrow, partly sunny, high 74, west winds gusting to 20, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms before midnight Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, low 48, partly sunny Thursday, high 64, partly cloudy Thursday night, low 43, then a string of clear and mostly clear weather from Friday until next Tuesday, high around 70 on Friday, around 80 Saturday and Sunday, and 85 on the 4th of July and Tuesday, lows in the upper 40s. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, be sure to become a member of Radio Free Moscow. Memberships are $35 a year, $25 for students. You can mail your membership to Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Ryan Phil assisted with tonight's newscast. I'm Lee Robertus. Have a good night.